Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
This month we are going through the book of 2 Corinthians. Am I a little too loud? Yeah. Can we turn me down a little bit? Is that better? Good, bad? You got to give me something. Yes, that's better? Okay, all right. This month we are going through the book of 2 Corinthians, just a number of different passages from that book, and our series is called Clearly Jesus, because I felt like as I was looking at these passages throughout this letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, he was really making it clear that everything comes back to Jesus. And what we go through and what we're dealing with really points to him, which is not a brand new idea, but it felt like the main thing that we needed to focus on as we went through this book this month. I enjoy questions. I enjoy understanding things. I enjoy some of the science behind things and just understanding our world and the universe and technology and how different things work. I was driving with somebody yesterday and we got talking about politics and world events and we ended up talking about like the difference between nuclear power plants and nuclear weapons and the process by which they work with the different materials to make weapons versus to make power plants, and how you have to take the different classes of uranium and then put them through different chemical processes to actually get them to the place where you can use them for power plants or you can use them to be weapons grade plutonium. And how do you, are you guys lost yet? Okay. So we were talking about that. I Googled it last night or this morning and figured it out. It was really, really interesting. Anyways, one of the things that I enjoy is also all about planets and stars and everything that goes on in our universe. And one of the really fascinating things to me are black holes. Now, there's all kinds of stuff about black holes that are really confusing and interesting. But essentially, what we think we know about them is that black holes have at the center something that is so dense and so heavy that its gravity overwhelms everything else. So much so that even when light goes by a black hole, it gets sucked into the black hole and can't escape. That's why it's black. Because when light comes, it doesn't come and get reflected, it doesn't bounce off, it gets absorbed, it goes to the center mass that is so heavy and so such gravitational pull that it sucks everything in and doesn't let anything else out. I imagine that all of us have either experienced that or know somebody that has experienced that spot in our life where it feels like we are one of those black holes. And it just feels like everything gets sucked in and nothing comes out, and you've got nothing to give. You just feel completely overwhelmed. Everything hits you and it's heavy. It's overwhelming. You don't feel like you're a benefit to anybody else. You don't feel like you can make a difference. You don't feel like you have any joy to give anybody else. It just feels like you are this dead black hole. And we've talked about that. I mean, last month we talked all around the concept of suffering and how do you survive suffering. And we have gone through those moments. And if you haven't gone through those moments, then I can pretty much guarantee that you know somebody who has gone through moments like that. where you have lost somebody or you have dealt with just an intense rejection, whether that's a friendship or a job, or maybe it was a marriage that fell apart. You have felt injustice where you've been mistreated. You've gone under attack. Some of you have dealt with abuse, and some of you have dealt with just overwhelming neglect in your lives. You've dealt with betrayal and injury and illness, and you have felt those things, and it feels like the world is just crashing in on you, and it's intense, and it's overwhelming, and it feels like you're dying. It feels like a black hole. And again, if you're one in this room who hasn't felt that, great. But you probably know somebody that has felt that. But I also think that many of us in this room have been there, but are no longer there. That many of us have been in those situations, felt those things, felt like there is no coming out of it, and then God has met us in those situations, in those circumstances, in that pain and that suffering, and He has somehow healed or restored or fixed or renewed somehow. It may have been the situation where you lost a relationship, or there was a relationship that broke apart, and you either found that God brought it back together and restored that broken relationship, or brought a new relationship that renewed something and rekindled something in your heart. Some of you, you've seen how God redeems and repairs those broken parts of your mind. You've seen how you've gone through hard things and you walked along and God somehow used those hard things you were going through to bring about a better job or a better relationship or to make a difference or to get you to the place where you got rid of the junk in your life and now you're doing what you should be doing. And if you hadn't gone through that hard stuff, you wouldn't have ended up in the good place. Some of you in this room know somebody or have personally experienced how God has healed an illness or a disease. You know somebody who had cancer and then all of a sudden it was gone. You've been here and you've prayed and you've had God answer your prayers. You've seen solutions. I've had situations as foolish as, like, I remember in school, I had assignments, and I was like, the assignment's due tomorrow, and I don't have time, and I prayed about it, and then you get an email saying the assignment's actually due next week. And it's like God is actually able to somehow increase the amount of time that you have even, something that we do not have the power over. And you and I have either been in those situations or know somebody that has, where God has come through and He has done something and He has comforted you and given you a way out. And you can personally attest to how God has worked to meet you where you are, to see you, and comfort you. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing to this church. This is the second letter to the church that we have. We don't have all the communication he wrote for the church, but this is the second letter that we do have. And it says in chapter 1, starting verse 3, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Now back in verse 4, this is what I want to highlight here. Paul says, God comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. What does that mean? What am I pointing out? What am I trying to say? Paul is saying, you know those times where God has comforted you? He did that so that you could take that comfort and comfort somebody else. Who comforts us in our troubles so that, for the purpose of you comforting those in any trouble with the comfort you have received from God. Black holes, from the theory that we have, black holes are dead stars. They burn up all the gas that they have, all that mass, and it's just these constant nuclear fusions happening that produces the light and this explosion, and it ends up everything that it produces this giant ball of essentially waste that is so heavy and so dense and so compacted by the mass that it is that it becomes the heart of the black hole. And it is the dead star that is the black hole that sucks in all the light and keeps it to itself. That's how we sometimes feel, and that is not what we are supposed to be. We are not meant to be people who receive comfort and receive gifts from God and the goodness of God and keep it to ourselves. That's what a dead star is. We are supposed to be living stars. What happens? Now, at the same time, let me kind of dance with this. What happens when the ground has not had any rain for a couple months, and then all of a sudden there's a downpour? What happens? The water hits it, and the water goes where? It runs off, doesn't it? So if your ground is really, really dry, and you pour a bunch of water on it, it just runs off. That's why when we talk about rain and we need rain, what we don't need is we don't need a downpour. What we need is a slow, steady rain for several days, because once the water starts to soak into the earth, then it starts absorbing the rest of the water, and then it spreads. This is the same thing for us. The water comes to us. We get saturated in the comfort of God, and then we are meant to take that saturated comfort that we have, that we absorb into us, and then spread it. It's not a matter of just it hits us and runs off, and we don't get any comfort, and we don't get any good, and that all the goodness of God is supposed to go to somebody else, and we don't get any of it, and we don't deserve any of it. And all some of you want to think, well, all this good stuff has come to me, I just need to pass it on. It's not for me, I just need to pass it on. But I think the reality is that God comforts us so that we can then spread it. It's not like the rain that comes to dry ground and just runs off into the ditch. We need to absorb, we need to take the comfort of God, and then as we absorb it into us, then it spreads. And so we're neither this dry, dry, dry ground with a downpour, and we're not a black hole. We are supposed to take the comfort of God and share it. We need to take the comfort of God and share it. This is my point. Comfort should flow through you, not just to you. Comfort should flow through you, not just to you. What that means is some of you have these stories of how God has done something in your life and you need to share it. You've had experiences and you need to start telling people about those things, because the comfort that you have received from God needs to be passed on so that you can comfort other people. Some of you have been in situations where you can actually see someone hurting and you know exactly what they need when they need it, because you have been exactly where they are. And God is saying, go predict what it is they need, be there when they need you, give them what they need in the moment that they need it. Some of you have been in situations where you have felt things and felt stupid for feeling those things, but you knew they were real and you can see somebody else going through that, whether that's an abuse or a betrayal or trauma or injury or illness, and you can see them wrestling with those thoughts, and sometimes you just need to go and say, you know what? Are you feeling angry about this? Are you feeling betrayed? Are you feeling upset? Are you feeling guilty? Are you feeling like you shouldn't be feeling this? And they can say, yes, well, guess what? I felt those same things, and that's normal. And sometimes people just need somebody that has experienced it to give them permission to feel what it is they're feeling. We need to be people who are with each other when we're going through these pains. We need to be people who listen. And you may not know exactly what's going on in someone's head, but you can show that you have some understanding of it. You can acknowledge the pain and say, you know what? That sounds horrible. You can help take the weight of things that they are trying to carry, so they can work through the things that they need to work through. We are comforted by God so we can share that God's comfort with other people. Paul goes on after that, those verses, and he says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened, not that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of the many. Paul says, I've gone through stuff that made me think there was no hope and we were going to die. And it made me realize that I needed to depend more on the comfort of God, who has defeated even death. And if death is going to come for me, then I know that my God can face that death and can raise the dead. That comfort Paul received so that he could then pass it on. He could soak it in and let it flow through him to the church in Corinth and to us today. The result of this is that as you embrace the comfort of God, you are comforted, and then you're able to pass that on to somebody else, and they are comforted. And when they are comforted, they're able to accept it, absorb it, and then they're able to let it flow through them and comfort somebody else. And the person that they comfort is then able to take it and let it flow through them, and they're able to comfort somebody else, and it goes, and it goes, and it goes. And it turns your pain into something that's not just a dead end, but it ends up using it, sabotaging it. It's hijacking this pain, where instead of it being something that's terminal, that's horrible, that has no good in it, God takes that pain and he turns it around and makes something good come out of it. It spreads, it reaches more and more people when we let the comfort flow through us instead of just to us. And then, when we face more problems, more comfort comes. And we're able to endure it. And those around us are able to endure it. And when more pain comes, more comfort comes. And we're able to endure that even harder thing. And then the next thing comes, and we're able to endure that even harder thing. And over time, what you find is what God does in us is he builds up that muscle and that strength inside of us, building that hope of Christ, that hope that defeats even death. And that comfort gets so strong, and because we are comforting each other with the comfort that God has given us and flows through us, we end up outlasting evil. We end up out enduring evil. We end up being a people who are not defeated by evil, but overcome evil with good. That is the kingdom of God. We take what God has given us and we let it soak in so much that it just has to spread to everyone around us. Because comfort should flow through you, not just to you. Mark's going to come up and he's going to pray for us, but before he does that, part of this message I think boils down to for us today is that God sees you, he loves you, he's fighting for you, but so much of the service, I feel like God has been saying, like, and you guys are part of the mission. You guys are the agents of change. You guys are the agents, the people, the living, breathing, tangible expression of Jesus in this world, who takes that out into the world, out into our community, and makes that difference. Like, I'm sitting there, and it's not just the band singing, and we're just kind of humming along or reading the words. Like, I can hear you guys singing. I can hear you guys drowning out the band. You guys are the body of Jesus. And he hasn't just called you to just come and be comforted and just stay that way, but he has called you to be comforted and then share it. To have his authority, to have his power, to have his comfort, and to be able to give that to other people. Some of you are still neck deep in the pain and you don't see it, but I want to tell you that God wants to comfort you and comfort you to such an extent that it becomes something that not only meets your needs but overflows to other people, and that he has a purpose for you to go out and change the lives of those around you. This isn't the Evan show. This isn't the Owen show. This isn't just a few people doing good stuff. He comforts you because he wants his comfort to flow through you.
And you are the church. You are the body of Jesus. You are the agents of change. You are the agents of life. Because of the shed and broken body of Jesus and his resurrection. Mark, as you come and you pray for us, maybe just grab Owen's mic there. Can you like pray, like just kind of a bit of a commissioning over us to that, in that same vein? I just feel like that's where we're headed.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.